Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thank you so much for joining us on the journey. Roger, this is our first Friday episode of season three. If you're new to the podcast, on Fridays throughout any given month, we've got a theme, and so typically four or five part theme. And there have been some wonderful, heartwarming, thought-provoking stories that have been told throughout the ages. Roger, throughout the month of January on Fridays, we want to focus on one of the greatest stories ever told.
It is, and it is found to us in Luke chapter 15. It's one of the parables of Jesus. It's actually the longest parable of Jesus. We know it simply as the prodigal son. And Jesus begins this story by saying a certain man had two sons. And in many ways, those two sons were very, very different, but in many ways, they were very similar. And so this is part three, we might say, of three parables in this chapter. The chapter begins by talking about the man who had 100 sheep and one was lost, and he left the 99 and went looking for that one lost sheep. Immediately following that, Jesus talks about this woman who lost a coin. And she had 10 coins, and she lost one. And she diligently swept her house and looked for it and found that one coin. Then, without any pausing, Jesus immediately goes into this story about a certain man having two sons. We know it as the prodigal son. I think for a lot of us, we look at this chapter and we think, okay, here's three independent parables about the same thing. In many ways, this is one story with 4 points. And lost sheep, lost coin, and two lost boys. One lost in the far country, one lost at home. And as we go through this, we're going to see what a fantastic, fantastic story this is. Whenever I teach on the parables, and I always begin with this question, what is your favorite parable? Anymore, I have to say, what is your favorite parable other than the prodigal son?
You collect books on the prodigal son.
I've got
son,
a whole
you?
Series. That's one of the passions I have, is collecting books on a prodigal son. I have a whole shelf just as prodigal son books. And the writer Neil Lightfoot, he said this is perhaps the most priceless chapter in the Bible. And R.C. Trench, who wrote a whole book about the parables of Jesus, says this one parable is the gospel within the gospel. And so it calls for us to spend some time on that. And so this month, we're going to be looking at this story, and we're going to look at each of the people involved. We'll talk about the prodigal. We'll talk about the father. We'll talk about the elder brother. But today, what we want to do is just kind of give you that 32,000-foot view. Look at the chapter as a whole. What's this all about? And then we'll zoom in on some other points.
You know, January is a time that many people look for new beginnings, fresh starts, maybe a turning around, perhaps going in a completely different direction. January for a lot of us is a time to evaluate, maybe make some really substantial life choices. And so as I read this parable, this amazing story, could I really encourage you to listen with as fresh of ears and as clean of a slate in your mind, your heart, as you can possibly muster? Let's try and listen to Jesus with eager, receptive hearts, as if we're hearing this for the very first time, and see what sort of impressions it makes on us. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now, his older brother was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" Roger, why is it fitting for us to camp here for the next month?
Well, this is our story in so many ways. All of us have been in that far country. All of us have walked where the prodigal has walked. But more than that, this is not a story about a broken home. This is not a story about two brothers who can't get along. This is not about how to raise children. This is really an image of God. I think what Luke is doing here is showing you this is what God looks like. Jesus is saying, "This is my Father." And that's the emphasis here. It's interesting, the word prodigal is not in this text. We call it the prodigal, and the word prodigal simply means reckless or irresponsible. Loose living is what he did. And so it's very fitting to call this the prodigal. And in all three of these stories, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost boys, something was lost and something was found. And there's much rejoicing when the lost was found. Interesting to put these side by side and see the differences in them. When we think about lost sheep, sheep wander off. Sometimes they don't pay attention. They're not following the shepherd, and they get lost that way. A coin is lost because someone else misplaced it. We can't find our car keys. We can't find our wallet. Well, where are they? Well, wherever we put them last, we can't remember that. We have misplaced them. And the prodigal, or the lost son, his was rebellion. His was a choice. All three of them were just as lost as the others, and all of them were found by the grace of God.
You know, you're talking about similarities and differences. It's interesting to me that in the first two, the lost sheep, the lost coin, Jesus concludes those by drawing attention to what is happening in heaven when what is lost is found, right? The shepherd finds the sheep, and Jesus tells this relatable story, but then he says, just so, or just like that, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. He concludes the second parable of the lost coin with, just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, in the third parable, we don't have that sort of a phrase. Why do you think that is?
Well, the third parable doesn't really end well. I mean, we'll go through this in the coming weeks. The prodigal made a mess. He came home, much rejoicing, big celebration. The elder brother stayed outside. He would not come in. He missed all that. The father who went to the prodigal also has to leave the house and go out and get the elder son. And as the story or the parable ends, we don't know what the elder brother does.
Right. It's a cliffhanger.
Yeah. We don't know if he ever. Now, we remember it's a parable. It's not a true story. But it's true in a sense that a lot of us have walked these same steps. We don't know if the elder brother ever came in or never did. Did he ever change or not? We don't know. But we don't have that rejoicing part as we do in the first two, which I think is very interesting.
You know, it's interesting as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are times that Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees figure out pretty quickly, Jesus is talking about us. And don't you get the sense by the time we reach the end of Luke chapter 15, one of the reasons this is a cliffhanger is he is leaving this in their laps. If there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, he has said that two times, and they might even be anticipating him saying it a third time. He doesn't, but isn't the loud and clear, blaring warning light, if God is rejoicing and I am not, there's a problem, and it's not with God.
Yeah, one of the things the prodigal son parable is going to bring out is how different the Pharisees were than what God is. They in their self-righteousness thought they had their act together. They thought it was all, they were all doing what was right. But as the story unfolds, Jesus is going to show them, you are so unlike your father. And that had to be a cutting blow to them as they thought about this context. Another textual point we just need to just kind of store away. This is only found in the Gospel of Luke. As great as the story this is, we think of being all four of the Gospels. It's not. It's only here. And that's kind of unique to Luke, and it's one of the reasons why Luke is a favorite of so many people, because of these powerful, powerful parables. Now, still at the 32,000-foot view, why is Jesus going through this series of lost and found? What's driving all this?
Yeah, anytime we are running across something like this, we need to back up. Look before, look after, but especially with a text like this, what prompted Jesus to tell these parables? What was going on? Do we have any idea from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John what is going on that leads to the beginning of these quotations? And of course, we don't have to look far. In fact, we might even look just a little before that big 1:5 that signifies to us the beginning of a chapter. Jesus didn't speak, of course, in chapters. You look at the very end of chapter 14 of Luke, and we hear Jesus saying, salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Roger, on Wednesdays here recently, you talked about lessons that we can learn from salt. And one of the things was that salt stands out, right? It is distinctive. It has an impact on the environment around it. People who knew the Old Testament scriptures well should have been like flavoring, helpful, preserving salt. But in the very next verse, Luke continues, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Why is it, do you think then, that Jesus launches from that into these parables?
He easily could have answered that question with just a simple statement. That's what I'm here for. Or no, I don't. Or yes, I do. But rather than just giving a simple answer to their accusation, their accusation is actually true. Jesus was receiving sinners. Mm-hmm. He was eating with them. I've often thought that, you know, this is something that we don't often think about, but if we think about the nature of the world and saying that Jesus eat with sinners, well, if he didn't eat with sinners, he's going to eat by himself.
Yeah.
Because everybody's a sinner. But in the Pharisees' mind, you know, if Jesus was truly the Messiah, he would be better than they were. And in their warped view of the Messiah wouldn't be with it. The Messiah would distance himself from such people. It's kind of like royalty and the commoners today. You know, the royalty lives in the palace and they're surrounded by guards and the commoners can't get very close. They thought that's the way the Messiah was going to be, but it wasn't. And Jesus was with sinners. And over, we think about later on in this gospel, chapter 19, where there is little Zacchaeus up in that tree, a chief tax collector. And Jesus invites himself to his home. We think about Jesus going to the home of Simon. And there was an unclean woman washing his feet with her tears and drying it with her hair. And so over and over, this is the characteristic of Jesus. And so this man receives sinners and eats with them. And then Jesus shares these stories. Lost sheep and the shepherd, who is Jesus, went to find that. A lost coin and someone swept the house and found that coin. Now a man has a lost son, really two lost sons, and he goes to save his lost sons. And that's why Jesus came. Luke 19, verse 10, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. So why he's describing these Pharisees is, yes, I do eat with sinners. Yes, I do receive those who are outcasts. I do that because that's what I came to do.
You know, it's on my mind because, of course, we talked about this past Sunday night, seeing as Jesus sees. And I think that's at the heart of this. Pharisees and scribes, when they looked at tax collectors and sinners, they saw people worthy of their spite. They saw outsiders. They saw people not worthy of their time, not worthy of their attention, not worthy of an audience or a relationship with God. Now, conveniently, they felt they themselves were eminently worthy, right? But it was a sight problem, a heart problem. When they saw these people, they didn't see the lost. They saw, well, the hopeless, the ones we've given up on, the ones who are not worthy of even another look. When Jesus looked at these people, he saw a rescue need. He saw people created in the image of God, worthy of being invited by grace into fellowship, relationship with the Father in heaven. To borrow from Matthew chapter 9, he saw people who were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd.
And what we see when we look at this series of parables is it kind of grows in intensity. It begins with a lost sheep. Well, that's an animal, okay? It's a commodity. The shepherd raises sheep to sell them, and he lost one. Well, that's going to be lost a profit, okay? Then it grows into a woman losing a coin, and these are probably very expensive coins, coins she would use for a wedding or something, very expensive. This is growing in value now. It's gone from the fields to within her house. And then as we get to the prodigal, we're talking about a son, a child of yours. And so an animal and a child is not on the same level. A coin and a child is not on the same level. So Jesus is growing this in intensity. And as the Pharisees are watching this, you know, I don't know if they would have really got the point of the first parable. You know, a sheep is lost and somebody goes find it. Okay, that's interesting. Well, I don't get that. Coin is lost. You sweep your house, you find your coin, everybody's happy. Well, good deal. But then when he starts talking about the son, he's going to put right before their eyes what this is all about and where they stood.
You know, Roger, you said we are going to spend the next several Fridays throughout the month of January talking about this. We'll talk about that prodigal lost son in the far country. We'll talk about the father who runs to meet and embrace and celebrate with this son. And we'll talk about that older brother. But here at the very beginning of January, it seems like very fitting at the end of this episode to hear that father's last words in the parable. It's never too late, right? A son that was dead now is alive. What was lost is found. And it strikes me that, you know, as the shine of January 1st already begins to wear off, as we're back to work, back to school, back to routines, back to normal, maybe there is someone within the sound of our recorded voices that is grappling with, is it too late to turn around? Is it too late to change? What would you say to that person?
Well, and I think this is why Jesus is really driving this home, to get them to see that the tax collectors and the sinners, as verse 1 says, we're coming to him.
Yeah.
Come to me is what Jesus wants us to do. It doesn't matter how long it's been, doesn't matter how deep the problem is, how much of a hole you're in, Jesus wants you to come back to him. And, you know, it's interesting, the father, and we'll talk about this as coming weeks, the father doesn't go out to the pig pen. But as soon as he sees that son coming home on the horizon, there's the father running to him. It's the shepherd who goes to the sheep. It's the woman who looks for the lost coin. God is looking for you. Now, you may not be looking for him, and you may be busy in your life thinking, you know, whatever, but God is looking for you. And God's wanting you to be back and be in a relationship with him. The son came home more than anything else, just hoping he could be a servant. Just let me be a servant to be at home. The father said, no, you're going to be a son. You are always a son. And he accepted him as a son. And we'll talk about this. The call of the robe and the sandals and the ring, all were things a servant wouldn't have. These are items belonging to family. These are items belonging to sonship. And so God is displaying his grace here. And so what Jesus is showing us in this passage here is this is the way God is. The son came home and the father did not say, who are you? The son came home and the father didn't give him a lecture. The son came home and the father didn't beat him. The son came home and the father accepted him and loved him. And we'll peel more and more layers off in coming weeks about this. But that's the grace of God. And God wants you to be back with him.
Sounds a lot like I am his and he is mine. Our theme for 2022 that we will continue to dig into. A lot of exciting things to look forward to. But Roger, I appreciate you joining me today. We appreciate all of you starting off in season 3 with us of the Heaven Bound podcast. If you have found this podcast helpful and have never given us a rating or review on iTunes or Google Podcasts, we would very much appreciate it. Maybe you know someone who you think this Friday series will be very helpful for, and we would love it if you would extend the reach of this podcast by sharing online via your social media channels. In the meantime, we hope this beginning episode has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for your journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.